The Bible reading this morning is taken from Mark chapter 3, from verses 13 to 17. Matthew chapter 3, from verses 13 to 17. The baptism of Jesus Christ. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased."
Thank you, Belma. There was a Methodist minister who went to a Baptist minister, and he said to the Baptist minister, You know, kind of, we do things a bit differently." He said, "Can I ask you a question?" The Baptist minister said, "Yeah, that's okay." So the Methodist minister said, "Do you know when you immerse someone in water?" He said, "Is it enough to immerse them up to their ankles?" And the Baptist minister says, "Oh, no." And he says, "Okay, well, what about if it's up to their knees, if they stand in the water up to their knees? Is that enough to count, kind of thing?" And the Baptist minister says, no, that doesn't count. That's not a proper baptism, no. "Well, what about if I do it up to the shoulders, right up to the shoulders? Is that enough?" Baptist minister says, nope, keep going. He says, "All right, so if it's up to the top of the head, is that enough?" And the Baptist minister says, "Absolutely, right up to the top of the head, the whole thing. Yeah, it's got to be done." So the Methodist minister says, "All right, good." He says, "I just wanted to make sure we've been doing it right all these years." He said, "Because, you see, we just miss out all that bit. We just go straight to the top of the head and sprinkle it. So it proves that's all right." Some of you know my story a little bit in terms of this. I was christened as a baby in a Methodist church. They call it infant baptism, or christening was another word that was used a lot. Anyone else been christened or infant baptized? Yes, quite a lot of us here. Yep. So I had that done as well. That was, my parents took me along to a Methodist church when I was young, and that was the thing that you did in the church there. And I think what my parents were doing was they were saying, we want to thank God for the birth of our child, and we want to commit him to you, Jesus, which I think was really nice that they wanted to do that. And then as I grew up, I went along to a Church of England church, and they had a practice of confirmation. Anyone heard of confirmation? Anyone been confirmed? Yeah, we got some people being confirmed as well. And so we went to a Church of England, and I was confirmed in a Church of England. Confirmation usually has the bishop come along, and he'll pray for you and place his hand on your head and pray for you, and you're affirming your faith as a believer. And what you're actually doing is affirming your baptism, infant baptism, owning it for yourself. That's what that's about, really. I'll come to that a bit later. And then when I got a bit older, I went along to a Pentecostal church. And while I was at the Pentecostal church, they didn't have confirmation and they didn't do infant baptism. They had what they called believer's baptism, and that was the full immersion thing. And that was going right under the water. And at that point, I thought, do I need to do that? I'm a Christian. I know I'm a Christian. Hallelujah. I know I'm a Christian. I've been born again. I've been christened or baptized, infant baptized in a church. I've been confirmed. I've publicly confirmed my faith as well. So do I need to be baptized now? And it caused me to look into it a bit more. And my conclusion was, yes, I do. Yes, I should. And so I got baptized in the Pentecostal church. And later on, I joined a Baptist church and became a member of a Baptist church. So I've done the rounds, done the lot, you know, became a minister of a Baptist church as well. But my theme today, we've been looking at basic Christianity. We've done about 3 or 4 weeks of this so far. We've looked at who is God. We've looked at Jesus. Last week, we looked at what is a real Christian. And this week follows on from that, and it's why bother with baptism? And what I want to do today is set out some of the reasoning that I found for getting baptized. And this is going to be affirming for some of you that have been baptized. And I hope it will be challenging for some of you that haven't been baptized. Some of you may not have been baptized, but with very genuine reasons, maybe like my own. I'm a Christian. I've already confirmed my faith. I've been baptized as a baby or whatever, those kind of things. I understand all of that because I've been there, okay? But today I want to set out why bother with baptism and try and set out an argument for it based on Scripture. That's my challenge. So let's go. Why bother with baptism? Well, first of all, I think what you've got to do is take the actual word baptize. What does the word baptize mean? And to do that, we have to go back to the original Greek. And so this is your Greek lesson for this morning. The word baptize means to plunge, soak, sink, drown, or drench. That's what it means. It means it's kind of used of, the word was used of a sinking ship. When a ship went underwater, and you know when the ship goes down and sinks, and all the water comes glug, 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 glug over the top of it. That's how the word is used. The other way it's used is, you know when you have some clothes, and if you're washing clothes by hand, and you push them under the water, and there's kind of air in them, and it all bubbles over, and the water comes all over, yeah? Some of you don't do any washing like that. No, you use a washing machine now, don't you? But you get the idea in the picture. It's when the water comes gushing over the top of it and it's gone completely under the water. It's been plunged under the water. It's been completely submerged and drenched with water, soaked with water. So now we're beginning to see the original word in a different context to the sprinkling on the head. Yes? Because that's what the word baptize means. When it talks about baptize and baptism in the Bible, that's what it's talking about. And in biblical terms, it's the full immersion in water of those who have repented and turned, believe in Jesus and are following him, which is what we talked about with being a real Christian last week. It's those who've made that commitment then go on to be baptized in a way to show what they've done, which I'll explain in a moment or two. So first of all, who can be baptized then? Well, let's ask the question, who can be baptized? Let's put the next slide up. Can babies or infants be baptized? So, yes or no? Hands up for yes. Hands up for no. Okay, more people are no, but we have got some yeses. Here's the thing. Based upon what I have just said, there's two things that would need to happen to be legitimate for a baby to be baptized based upon what I have just said. Number one, you wouldn't just sprinkle water on the head. You'd go plunk under the water and lift them back up again, because that's truly what the word baptize means. And that could be done, couldn't it? That could be done. However, the second thing I said about what it was to be baptized was what? It was someone who had made a decision to repent of their sin and to choose to follow Jesus. Can a baby do that? No. So what is happening to a baby when, if it is baptized, is it something being done to it rather than a decision it's making for itself? Yes? I'll tell you why that came in and why that started to happen. You see, because babies didn't used to be baptized. That wasn't the way that it was when Jesus was around. Oh, yes, I know. It tries to be justified by a little verse in Acts chapter 16, verse 33, where a jailer and his family, his whole family, became believers and were baptized. That's the only verse in the Bible that's used to justify, to try and justify, infant baptism. The jailer and his family. But his family were up at midnight listening to Jesus teaching about bringing his teaching. I can't imagine the baby sat there like that, tentative to Jesus' teaching. You know, so we don't know there wasn't a baby baptized, but that's the only one. There's no other verse, there's no other passage of scripture that shows that there was babies that were baptized. And so where did it come in? Actually, the practice of the church for the first 200 years was basically believer's baptism. It always was. Infant baptism only started to come in when people started to worry about the eternal destination of their children during times of high infant mortality rates, plagues, disease and illness, and times of war. And when that started to happen, parents started to worry, what if our child isn't baptized? Will they go to heaven? Will they go to be with God? We want to make sure that they're covered too. Can you understand that as a parent? Yeah? If somehow we associate being baptized as a salvation issue, then you want to do that to your child to make sure that they're saved, yes? So that's what started to happen. They started to baptize their children really early to try and make sure they were covered in life. And that became quite a common practice by the 5th century. Over the next 200 or 300 years, it became more common. And by the 5th century, it was a common practice. Now, later on in the church's history, particularly in the Church of England and other denominations, the church started to have questions raised because we started to have whole generations of people growing up thinking they were Christian because they'd been baptized or christened, Christ, and made into Christians. So people started to think they were Christian. And last week I talked about people filling out the forms and putting, yes, I'm a Christian, when actually they don't have no faith at all, but they just come from a Christian country and they maybe were baptized, christened as a child. So people grew up thinking they were Christians, and they would, and other denominations like the Baptists, for example, came out of that and said, no, you've got to make this decision for yourself. It can't be something that's done to you. You can't be made a Christian by somebody else. You have to make that decision for yourself. Yes? Okay, so what happened was the Church of England and other churches then began to get a hold of this and say, yeah, okay, we do need to do that, but we don't want to negate the original baptism, the original christening. So what we'll do is we'll confirm the original baptism. We'll get people to confirm that they now own that for themselves. And that's why confirmation came in to the Church of England. And people come forward and they confirm that, yes, I'm following Jesus. Yes, I believe in him. And the Church of England would teach, therefore, not all of them, because each church kind of has its own, but the overall policy is that you don't need to be baptized again because you were already baptized. We don't want loads of people growing up thinking that their baptism didn't count and we've been wasting our time all these years doing this. So what we'll do is we'll say that that's okay, it's a baptism, but now we'll confirm that that baptism is our own decision now. Does everyone understand that? Okay, so that's where confirmation came in. Was that what Jesus originally intended? Was that how it was for the first 200 years in the church? No, that's what happened because of people getting scared and then the church trying to help people, which I genuinely understand them trying to do, and then what came of trying to put that right in some way, and that became the common practice. Next slide, if we can put that up. Adults. So is it then that we should call it adult baptism? Hands up for yes. Hands up for no. Okay, why not? Because it's not just adults. What's the criteria for being baptized? Making your own decision, repenting and believing in Jesus, choosing that you want to follow Jesus, that you want to die to yourself and live for him. That's the criteria. So anyone who does that and means it in the heart and understands what they're doing could be baptized. And therefore, we call it in our church generally, in the Baptist denomination, we call it believer's baptism. believer's baptism, because it's those who believe and put their trust in Jesus and follow him. Okay, now, why should we be baptized then? Let's get on to this. I've got a little picture here of a little doggy. He's called Fido. Fido is why you should be baptized. No, it's not because of your love of puppies and little dogs. It's because of the F-I-D-O. This is a way to help you remember four reasons why I think you should be baptized if you believe in Jesus and are following him. Here's number one, F. It's follow Jesus' example. It's the passage that we just read in the Bible. The passage we just read that Belima read for us. I'm going to read it to you again because this is important. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? See, what Jesus was saying was, what John was saying was, Jesus, you haven't done anything wrong. What is baptism about? It's about showing that you've washed your sins away. It's about showing that you've died to yourself and you're living for God. It's about showing that the sins that you've done wrong, you're sorry about and repented of. Had Jesus done things wrong? The Bible says he was without sin. He was without sin. He was the perfect, unblemished sacrifice. And so Jesus didn't have anything to repent of. He wasn't sinful man in that way. He didn't have to repent of what he'd done and be washed clean of it. And so John says to him, why? You know, this is the wrong way around here, Jesus. I should be being baptized by you because I'm sinful man. And Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness. What does righteousness mean? Righteousness means what is right. What is right? Why is it right that he should be baptized? I think it's because Jesus wanted to set an example to us in everything that he did. And he was teaching us to be his followers, his disciples, followers of Jesus. And so Jesus got baptized to set the example, to set the precedent of what was to follow for everyone else. Not because he needed to get baptized, but because he wanted to do it himself and then we could follow in his footsteps. And John consented. And as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. And at that moment, heaven was opened and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my son, whom I love, with whom I'm well pleased. God confirms that was the right thing. He'd been obedient in getting baptized and setting that example. So, the first thing is, follow Jesus' example. He was baptized. He said it was the right thing to do. We're his followers, his disciples. So we should follow in his footsteps and be baptized too. If it was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. Yeah? If Jesus thought it was important enough to do, and he didn't need to do, how much more should I be willing to follow in his footsteps and do it? That's number one, follow Jesus' example. Number two is identify with Jesus. Colossians, Romans 1:6-11 and Colossians 2:12. Now, you need to listen to these verses. This is brilliant. Because what we've got here is a whole thing that people miss with baptism, okay? That confirmation doesn't do and signing a little card doesn't do or anything else. It's why baptism is so important and symbolic and real. So listen to this. I'll read you the passage from Colossians 2:12 first, okay? The one in brackets. Colossians 2:12 says this. Having been buried with him in baptism... Did you get that? This is from the New Testament. Having been buried with him in baptism. When someone's baptized, we lower them down under the water. What's that signifying? They've died to themselves. And they're identifying with Jesus. Jesus died on the cross and was placed in a tomb. And then Jesus rose again out of the water, which is a good bit for people because then we bring them back out of the water again when they've gone down, you know? So having been buried with him in baptism... And raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. See, baptism is meant to be symbolic, is a picture of what Jesus has done for us and us identifying with him and also what we have done ourselves. We are dying to ourselves and living for Christ. Romans chapter 6, verse 1 to 11. I'm not going to read every verse, but just read some of that. Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Why does he mention baptism? Why does Paul mention baptism in this passage in Colossians? Because it's important. Because that's what baptism was about, identifying with Jesus. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we've been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. Count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. That whole passage is full of this imagery of us dying with Christ in baptism. It keeps saying baptism, in baptism, and rising with him to new life in him. See, the biblical significance of baptism and what it symbolizes and what it says was really important in the early church. So, following Jesus' example, identifying with what Jesus has done. The D, can anyone guess what the D is? Don't put it up yet. We've had follow Jesus' example, identify. That's F for follow, I for identify. D, declare. Well done, straight away. Let's put up declare. Declare Jesus publicly. Now, yes, this one doesn't have to be baptism. It could be something like confirmation or something else, or standing at the front talking about it. But in effect, baptism was, this is part of what baptism was meant to be, this declaration. Matthew chapter 10, 32 to 33 says, whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. Romans 10, 9, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. There's something important about a public declaration. Some people tell me, well, I can be a Christian, but I don't need to tell anybody. No. No, that is not what Christian faith and Christian life is about. We're meant to publicly testify to it. It's an important part of being a Christian. And the way in which God gave us to testify to our faith, the public way he gave us, was baptism. That was one of the key ways when we first become a Christian, is to be baptized. It's a public declaration. As you know, Spurgeon once put it, it's the outward sign of the inward grace. What has happened in our lives, what has happened in our heart, what Jesus has done for us internally is shown externally by what we do in baptism. Dying to ourselves and rising again in him. And so declaring Jesus publicly, a biblical way to declare and demonstrate our faith. And the last one, can anyone think of what the O might be? Obedience, yes, thank you. Obey. Obey Jesus' command. He told us to do it. He wants us to do it. And we can show our obedience in this way. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, Jesus says, right at the end of his ministry, after he's died and he's risen again, and he says to his disciples, go and make disciples of all nations. What's next? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. So we're meant to obey him, but he's told us to go and do it. He's told us to baptize people. Now, why would he say that bit if it wasn't important? Of course it's important. It's a God-given way for us to respond to the gospel. You know, there's lots of other ways in which that imagery comes out. In Acts chapter 22, Saul's told to go and wash his sins away. The significance of the water washing sins away. That doesn't happen in other means that we might respond with. Like a bath washes dirt, baptism shows our sins are washed away. Okay, when should we be baptized? Here's a question. When should we be baptized? The answer is as soon as possible after becoming a Christian. Now, that may surprise some people, But that's what the Bible would teach as soon as possible after becoming a Christian. Most new Christians got baptized the same day in the early church. The same day they became a Christian, they would be baptized. It was part of becoming a Christian. It kind of was a completion of that in a sense. So let's have a quick look at the study. Let's do a quick Bible study in Acts and look at some verses in Acts that show some of these first baptisms. So let's start in Acts chapter 2, verse 38 to 41. I'll read a little bit from it, not all of it. Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And those who accepted his message were baptized. About 3,000 were added to their number that day. Peter's preaching to the Jews. 3,000 people get saved and they're baptized on exactly the same day. They didn't wait a week. They didn't go to baptism classes for the next 2 months. They got baptized the same day because it's the appropriate response, the appropriate and biblical response to the gospel is getting baptized. So I want to become a Christian. What do I do? Repent and be baptized. Sorry, I'm starting to shout a bit, aren't I? I'm sorry, I'll calm down. I get excited. Let's look at another passage. Acts chapter 8, verse 12 to 13. This is when Jesus is, when Paul's talking with Simon the sorcerer. Oh no, it's Peter, isn't it? With Simon the sorcerer and others. It's Philip, actually. I know I'm coming. Yeah, it's one of them anyway. It's Philip. But when they believed Philip, as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized. When they believed, they were baptized. Acts chapter 8, the same chapter, verse 35 to 38, a different story. This is Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. He believed. And when he believed, and they saw some water, I'll read it. Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told them the good news about Jesus. And as they traveled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, here's some water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariots. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water and Philip baptized him there in that place. As soon as he believed, he was hearing about Jesus. And as soon as he believed, he wanted to get baptized and do it straight away. One or two of you are making notes I've seen around, but all these notes will be on the website as well, the church website. So don't worry if you miss the references before they disappear. Acts chapter 10, verse 47 to 48. Can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They've received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So we ordered that they be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. That was Peter with the Gentiles. God accepted them. Who could stop them being baptized if they'd become Christians? They should get baptized. Acts chapter 22, 16 is the one I've just told you about. Ananias tells Saul, what are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized and have your sins washed away. It was as soon as people became a Christian, as soon as people believed in Jesus, they were baptized. So why don't we always get baptized straight away today? Anyone think of any reasons? The church won't let you. Oh, wow. Okay, mini ministers. There isn't any water. There isn't any water in the baptistry. Okay. You get your clothes wet. Well, you do that anyway, yeah. Oh, you need to change your clothes with you. Yes, yes. Okay, don't we have some... Sorry? The parable of the sower. Oh, right. Waiting to see whether it bears fruit or not in someone's life. Okay. They didn't do that in the Bible, though, did they? But that could be a reason why they do. Now, here's a few. They're good reasons. They're reasons. Not saying they're all good reasons. Let's look at some that I've got down. Here's some reasons. They understood faith quicker due to the religious climate. See, the thing is, the Jews understood that it was important to be washed clean. The Jews used to have their hands, they had ceremonies for washing their hands, yes, and washing feet and washing themselves. They would wash and they were crazy on this washing stuff. You know, it was like health and safety gone mad, the Jews sometimes. It was, they were good at, and the reason they were doing it, they were cleansing themselves to make sure that they were right, which was good. And what a Gentile had to do to become a Christian was he had to be baptized and wash all of himself to become a Christian. If a Gentile wanted to become a Jew, part of the process was they had to be washed completely, whereas a Jew just had to keep his hands washed because he was already all right. Do you get that? But when John brought a different kind of baptism, he says, you're not being baptized to become a Jew, you're being baptized as even the Jews needed to be baptized. They needed to be baptized and washed clean in repentance. That's when John came along. And so that started to be the practice. And they already understood about the water washing and cleansing and so on. And they understood faith. People talked about faith. Children were taught about faith. That was the whole climate. People were very religious minded. They understood about God and things like that. Today, we have a lot of people that don't grow up with all of that, do they? They don't necessarily get it taught in school anymore, children and so on, you know? And not a lot of people do have the opportunity to learn about faith and understand washing clean and being right with God and everything else. So today, when someone becomes a Christian, quite often we want to make sure they fully understand what they're doing before they get baptized, because we don't want them to do it and not really understand it. We want them to understand what they're doing before they publicly stand up here and say, this is me, I've died to myself, I'm living for Christ. We want them to understand. We don't want them to be hypocritical in it. We want them to understand what they're doing and the cost of that. Do you know, I find one thing that sometimes churches do is they rush young people through baptism when they get to a certain age, just because it's the thing we do in our church and it's a good thing for them to do. Yes? And I don't think that is a good thing to do. I love it when young people get baptized. I absolutely love it. But I don't make it easy for them. I want them to know exactly what they're saying and what they're doing. I want them to know the cost involved in taking up your cross and following Jesus. Because that's really important. I don't want to encourage them to do anything that's going to be hypocritical. I want them to mean it with all their heart, all their mind, all their soul. I want them to understand it with all of their being. And when they get baptized, I want it to be a great foundation for the whole future life, to help them through those teenage years, to help them through those university years, and say, yes, I have died to myself, I'm living for Christ, and this is going to help me through all that time, because I'm sticking to what I believe in Jesus. But they won't do that if it's just been a thing they do, because it looks cool to come in this tank and get baptized. And it's what their parents or someone else or the ministers or teachers or whoever else encourage them to do, because it looks good for numbers, or it's kind of the appropriate thing to do. Yeah, I'm sorry if I'm being kind of sounding a bit strong, but I think this is really important. So sometimes we want to make sure that people understand fully and we teach them properly before they get baptized. But if they do understand it, if they are sure, if I see someone become a Christian and they genuinely, I really believe they've got it, I would have no problem in getting them baptized straight away, because you don't have to wait. There's a few more reasons why that might not always be possible. Let's put some of them up. The next one, they had plenty of public water and a good climate. We don't always, and the UK is a bit cold. So they would stop at the side of the road and jump in the river or whatever. Bit cold in England for that. It isn't always as convenient. And anyone fancy getting baptized in the river in town? No. So, you know, it isn't always as easy to do it. And as someone said, we've got the pool here, and churches started putting baptismal pools in to make it easier for us to do baptisms. But you're still going to fill them up, and it's nice to invite everyone along and tell them it's happening. Some churches, when they've had baptism services and the water's full up in the tank, they'll say to people, anyone else want to be baptized today while we've got the tank open, while we've got the pool? And they say, yeah, come on up if you want to get baptized. I think that's great in one sense, because you don't need to wait. If you've been touched by God and you want to commit to him, then come and get baptized. On the other hand, I kind of have this dilemma, because I want to make sure they understand what they're doing and they're not just caught up in the emotion of the occasion. So I'm not as keen because of that. So it's a dilemma for me. What should you do? Should I stay or should I go? No. Anyway. Let's see another reason. They didn't have years of church tradition to confuse them. Do you know what? Oh my word. We debate its theology. We dispute its need. We argue over whether we're already covered and we need to do it again. For goodness me, it's there in the Bible, you know. Let's not debate it. Let's just do it and get on with it. But we do. We argue the point. We've got all this church tradition that confuses people with the importance of baptism or not. It's really, really simple to my mind. And that's why I'm trying to explain it today to you. Believe and be baptized. And that's what baptized means. The whole richness of the biblical picture behind it and everything. And the actual word itself. And they didn't think they had to be perfect or good up front to get baptized. Do you know what I often find? People say, well, I can't get baptized yet. I've become a Christian, but I can't get baptized yet because I'm not there yet. I need to work on a few things in my life. Oh, my word. Hands up if you've got things you still need to work on in your life. We'd never get baptized. We'd never get there, would we? If we were trying to be perfect before we got baptized. That's the whole point. The whole point is there's nothing we can do to it. Thank goodness, thank Jesus that he died for us, that he took the punishment for our sin so that we can be forgiven and washed clean by him, even in our imperfectionness. I've just invented a new word. That's the whole point. We don't come to him as perfect people. We're showing what God has done for us, even in our imperfection. While we were still sinners, Christ came to us, yes? And that's, we show that. So we shouldn't try to be good enough. And also people get really scared about having to come out to the front. I've got to walk all the way, there's a phone there. Got to walk all the way from church, from my seat, or wherever I am, to come to the front and go in front of everybody in that tank and maybe even share a testimony, which isn't an essential part of it, by the way. I think it's lovely when people share their stories about why they're getting baptized, but it doesn't say in the Bible you have to stand up and give a testimony through a microphone. It says be baptized. That's the public declaration. So if you're willing to share your story, do it. That's great. Want to hear it. But if you're not, don't let that stop you being baptized. I'm not going to make you stand behind a microphone and tell your story, okay? Don't let that be the thing that stops you. But some people don't get baptized because they're nervous about, and people say this to me all the time, I've had this so often, but I'm not an upfront person. I've got to walk all that way to the front, and I'm in front of everybody, and that's not me, I'm a shy person. Do you understand that? I understand that, I get that, I honestly do. But here's the thing. Jesus, the one that you follow, the one that you love, had to walk all the way through the crowds, being spat at and beaten and named called and told that they should crucify him. And he walked all through carrying this big, dirty, great cross all the way there. And he had the public humiliation of being nailed to the cross in front of us all. And he did that for us. And we can't even walk to the front and get baptized for him? Come on. Come on. Is it not worth that one sacrifice just to follow what Jesus has taught us? Is that not all part of the thing of coming out and following him and being willing to stand before other people without being spat on and beaten? Because most of the time when you're doing it, people will be going, this is great. Without being spat on and beaten, but coming to the front and saying, yes, I'm a follower of Jesus and I'm not ashamed of him. And I'll put up with that public bit for him on this occasion. Yes? So, where should we get baptized? Do this one quick. Where should we get baptized? Anywhere with enough water to be submerged. It can be in, we'll put the pictures up as well. It can be in the sea, in a river, in a swimming pool. I've done baptisms in all these places. In a birthing pool. Some churches get birthing pools in a paddling pool. I've done baptisms in a paddling pool in the middle of a town centre, in the high street. Someone wanted to get baptised in the high street outside the shop because they were working and they had to work. And so they said, they can't get baptised. I said, don't let that stop you. We'll bring the pool to you. So we took the pool into the high street, put it there right outside the shop where he worked. It was like a mini supermarket thing. And the manager had given him permission to come out, and he came out, and he was baptized in the middle of the street there, crowds all around, and all the shops stopped, and all the people that worked in the shop came to the window to watch him being baptized. And then he went back to work. Bring it on. I've had someone getting married on the same day that someone getting baptized on the same day they got married. Got married in the church, whipped the wedding dress off, into the pool, back out again. Do you know why? Because they were living with their partner and they wanted to put that right and get married before they get baptized. They said, I don't want to live in a way that's not pleasing to Christ, so I'll get married and then get baptized. And we did it all on the same day. Brilliant. Time to celebrate what God has done in people's lives. Why do we usually do baptisms in church? The early church didn't have baptismal pools, but churches today use them because the weather's often too cold outside. It's more convenient because it's where we meet together and we can be family when we share this occasion. It associates baptism with the church. You're baptized into God's family. You're baptized into the church family. Not just Central Baptist Church, the church, but you're part of this church if you're being baptized here as well. And it helps introduce other people to the church because you can invite them along, family and friends. They get to see the church family and meet us here and be part of this with us. And hopefully it speaks to them as well in the midst of that. You know, Jesus gave us two key ordinances, two key things to do. Number one is communion. What is communion for? It's to remember Christ's death for us. The other ordinance he gave us, water baptism. What is that for? To remember our death for Christ. I think that's brilliant. He gave us two ordinances, communion to remember Christ's death for us, and baptism to remember our death for Christ. To look back to and say, I've identified with Christ. He did that for me. I've committed to do that for him and live for him. Baptism is an appropriate, a biblical, and a God-given response to the gospel. So what are you waiting for? As Acts 22:16 would say, get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away. And for those of you who were convinced of all this already and think that we need a bit more meaty teaching to feed on, although I think this stuff's great, let me give you a little challenge, a little homework to do. See, I teach baptism is not a salvation issue, but is a discipleship issue. It's about being obedient. It's about if you've said you're going to follow Christ and be obedient to him, then you should be baptized. I really believe that. I don't think it makes you a second-class Christian if you're not. But I think it's something that we should do as a Christian. And if you've been baptized as an infant, I still think you should get baptized in the proper way, in the way that is biblical. If you've been confirmed, as I was, I still think to be baptized by immersion as a believer is something, for all the reasons I've said, that's important to do. It doesn't negate what happened when you were younger. That was your parents committing to bring you up that way. It affirms it in a biblical and appropriate way. But it's a discipleship issue, not a salvation issue. However, just let me throw this one in, because I wrestle with this verse. So I'll let you wrestle with it a bit as well. What does Jesus mean in John 3:5 when he says, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born again of water and the Spirit? I've heard a number of explanations for that, but none that I think I'm happy with. Take that home and munch on it. John 3:5. Whatever the answer to that is, I think baptism is really important. And I hope that some of you will consider it, because I'm really looking forward to getting in that baptismal pool. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for leading by example when you were baptized. And I thank you for giving us such a dramatic and symbolic way of identifying with you and showing our faith in you. And I pray that you'll give people boldness here and confidence here to step forward and be baptized if they haven't already done so. And I pray that in the months and years to come, we'll see many people going through the waters of baptism because they have given their lives to you and committed to following you. We ask it in your name, Jesus. Amen.